Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former National Evangelism Missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome again to another episode of Evangelize for Life with your host, Stephen Glover. And today I'm kind of switching things up a little bit, moving out of the theory or the discussion we had on evolution to a more, I guess, serious topic, still dealing with the issue of sin, still dealing with the blindness where Satan has blinded the eyes of unbelievers to keep them from coming to the knowledge of the truth, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, but dealing with some disturbing news, some disturbing topics that we have read about in the news, either electronic or in print, with the results of individuals eating one another. Cannibalism is the terminology that we're all familiar with, people eating flesh, eating bodies. And so I think we need to address that and look at what the Bible has to say about that. But before we do, I think we need to begin with prayer. We're definitely going to need it with this topic because it is so abnormal for humans to eat one another. We know that animals do that, but we are created in the image of God. So before we begin, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your Son. Thank you, Father, for his blood that was shed, that when we look in Scripture, we see that he says if we're going to follow him, we must be willing to eat of his body and drink of his blood, and that is not a literal body, not his literal blood, but for us to put our faith and our trust and submit our lives to his sacrifice, his death, his burial, his resurrection on the cross, and that we are reminded of that through the communion service where we reflect on the eating of his body of bread and drinking of his blood and wine or grape juice, that we reflect on what he did for us in Calvary. Lord, we pray for those who have fallen prey to this demonic activity. We ask that, Lord, you would deliver them. And if something is said today that might encourage them to trust in Jesus Christ and be set free, we pray, Father, that you would use today's message or today's show to bring about the setting free of the captives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was concerned, like many of you, with some of the things that have been taking place in our media and in our news. And so I kind of did a little research regarding what happens or what is going on in our world from a biblical perspective. And, you know, we're all encouraged to study it, to show ourselves approved. And when you find God's Word, when you look in God's Word, he gives us direction, he gives us answers, he gives us solutions to our problems. And the book of Ecclesiastes tells us that there is nothing new under the sun. And when you open up God's Word, you find that to be true. So I've got a multitude of scriptures. I don't know if we'll get to all of them today, but I want you to turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 5. What happens? What happens when God abandons a nation? What happens when God abandons a nation? Because when we look at Scripture, there is an eternal wrath where God punishes unredeemed sinners in hell. We know the Bible speaks of a judgment to come. We know this also is an ecological wrath, where the Bible talks about the end of the world. We know there's also a cataclysmic wrath, where you have natural or physical disasters that occurs. We mentioned Job a couple of programs ago, where there was a hurricane or a tornado that destroyed his family and a household in which they were dwelling in at the time. We know that we live in a fallen world, so this is the reason why we have tornadoes and we have hurricanes and we have all these natural disasters. There's also a consequential wrath where life, the kind of life that is lived, produces judgment, meaning that we see that AIDS or among the homosexual lifestyle, disease is prevalent, and usually men and women who practice sodomy don't live very long. And so that is a consequential wrath, meaning that their lifespan is brought to a sudden end or a shortage in their life because of how they're living. But there's also, and I think this is dealing with the topic today of cannibalism, there's an abandonment wrath. And this is when God turns his back on a society, a nation, a person, that leads to them basically following after their own lust. Like we look in Genesis 6, that then it was right in his own eyes, which brought God's judgment, a removal of God's restraining grace, and society is turned over to its sinful freedoms. So just dealing with the topic of cannibalism, you find that in Scripture where God restrained himself or pulled back, and man, and actually sometimes you see God implementing judgment for their man's rebellion, man's sin, man's disobedience. And we read in Ezekiel chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord God," this is Jerusalem, he's dealing with Jerusalem's rebellion and sin, "I have set her at the center of the nations with land all around her," Israel being the apple of God's eyes, the nation of Israel, the land that was given to them being a land set aside for God's people. But she, meaning Israel, has rebelled against my ordinances more wickedly than the nations, and against my statutes more than the lands which surround her, meaning the people around her, the pagan nations that Israel was called by God to be separate, to be separate unto God, so that he would be glorified in their proclamation of the one true God. But Israel began to practice similar, if not worse, customs of those around them, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, etc. He says, "For they have rejected my ordinances and have not walked in my statutes. Therefore, thus says the Lord, because you have more turmoil than the nations surrounding you and have not walked in my statutes, nor observed my ordinances, nor observed the ordinances of the nations which surround you." Well, what we read in Deuteronomy 28, that the Bible says that you'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed when you come and when you go, and we'll get to that. But he's very clear that when you obey my commandments, my covenants, my statutes, my teachings, my ordinances, he says that I will bless you. Now he's telling them, you've rebelled against my ordinances, my statutes, my covenants, my precepts, my commandments. Therefore, verse 8, "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, and I will execute judgment against among you in the sight of the nations." So you're in danger. You are in deep trouble when God says that I am against you. Now, you are in a blessed place when the Bible says, if God be for you, no man be against you. But you are in deep trouble when you say that, when God says that I am against you, the creator, the maker of the heavens and the earth, one that made clear his statutes, his precepts, his standards, his requirements. He made it very clear to Israel that you are to proclaim me and you are to be separate unto me. And very clearly he's saying, I am against you because of your rebellion, your disobedience, your stiff-neckedness, your rebellion against me and my word. Verse 9, and because of all your abominations, I began to worship Baal, Asherah, all the false gods of those around them, offering up sacrifices, including their own children. I will do among you what I have not done, and the like of which I will never do again. Therefore, listen to this, fathers will eat their sons among you, and sons will eat their fathers, for I will execute judgments on you and scatter all of your remnants to every wind. So as I live, declares the Lord God, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable idols and with all your abominations, therefore I will also withdraw, and my eyes shall have no pity, and I will not spare. God says, I will withdraw. I will pull back on a society. And one of the things that he clearly teaches here is that men and fathers will be eating their children, and children will be eating their sons. So what do I mean by some of the things that are in the news? Well, up in Montreal, Canada, a man named Luca Rocco Maganata is a young guy who has involved himself and participated in cannibalism. According to an article that we find in the Canadian press, this gentleman apparently, some homosexuality is taking place here again, and again, that is, we'll go to Romans 1, that is evidence of or a sign when God restrains or pull back from a nation, that he will give them over to their passions and their lusts and the lust of their heart. And they will indulge in not only in immorality, sexual immorality, and impurity, but the characteristic of society will be immoral and pornographic. And that's exactly what you see. You see people operating in the lust of their heart, and they're following the desires of their body. And in this particular article, this young man killed his partner with an ice pick. And while both killer and victim lay naked, he dismembers the corpse and commits sexual and cannibalistic acts on it. This is on the Canadian press. And it says the same person apparently videotaped the gory scene and posted it on the internet. And the video is now being reviewed by the Montreal police, who are investigating this particular incident. So they're pursuing this individual because for not only killing and dismembering, but it appears that he mailed parts of the body to Ottawa. So they're looking for this gentleman who participates in this debauchery. There's another example, and many of you have heard down in Miami, where there's a man who chewed the face of an individual. His name is Rudy Eugene. Rudy Eugene, completely naked, attacks a man and chews the homeless face. The homeless man chews his face. And this happens this past Saturday, where he chewed another man's face. Rudy Eugene is 31 years old. He lives in North Miami Beach. He was shot multiple times while eating the face of this man. Now, it's been recorded. There were people who recorded it apparently on their cell phone. But we see that this new phenomenon of cannibalism, I don't know if it's the result of the mainstream acceptance of some of the movies where you see the eating, drinking of blood that God clearly says is wrong in Leviticus 17, verses 10 to 14, that the eating or the drinking of blood of an animal, but not just an animal, but anything is forbidden by God, because the Bible is clear that life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. So God forbids the drinking of blood. He says, and this is Leviticus chapter 17, verse 10. He says, and any man from the house of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among them who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood. Now, the first example that I mentioned, the guy ate his heart and he ate part of his brain. Okay, this is how bad things have gotten. And so we hear these two examples of the eating of blood or drinking of blood. And God says he will cut them off from among the people, for life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood by reason of life that makes atonement. And I think of these different programs or these different shows, Twilight, Buffy the Vampire, and all these vampire shows that I'm not quite familiar with, but I know there's an emphasis on the drinking of blood and the obtaining life and the spirit. Some of the ancient cultures, when they ate the flesh of another, they did that so that the spirit of that individual would live forever. But we know, according to Scripture, that upon death comes judgment. So it's not that that individual lives on in the body of someone if you eat their flesh, but according to Scripture, that person is either an eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell. That spirit goes to heaven or it goes to hell. So there's this myth, not only about that, but also the blood. When we think about the blood and how precious the blood of Christ was, the blood of Christ saved us from our sins. He shed his blood, meaning he died in order that we might be forgiven. And one of my memory verses is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, where it says, as he, meaning Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin, but live unto God. For by his wounds, by his stripes, we have been healed. So the blood, the body, the death of Christ, the shedding of his blood, was so that we might live. And I think one of the myths, one of the lies that Satan is perpetuating is that you gain life. And I know witchcraft, and I know that the cults put a lot of emphasis on the shedding and drinking of blood. And as you continue to read in Leviticus 17, therefore I said to them, said to the sons of Israel, no person among you may eat blood, nor may any alien who sojourns among you eat blood. So when any man from the sons of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among them in hunting catches a beast or bird which may be eaten, he shall pour out his blood and cover it with the earth. For as for the life of all flesh, its blood is identified with its life. Therefore, I say to the sons of Israel, you are not to eat the blood of any flesh. So he, again, gets into not just the birds or the beasts of the fields, but he says the blood of any flesh, for life of all flesh is in the blood, and whoever eats it shall be cut off. So it sounds to me what Satan is doing is he's deceiving people into eating and drinking blood. And in doing so, this abomination, this practice, cuts them off from God. They are cut off from God because of this abomination. Not to say that they cannot be forgiven, because the only sin that Scripture reveals that will not be forgiven is an individual who refuses to repent and place their faith in Jesus Christ, who blasphemes the Holy Spirit, who convicts men of sin and righteousness and judgment. So that's the only sin that God will not not forgive, but it is clear that Satan is pushing man into further darkness. And as a result, because men will not and have not acknowledged God, because he clearly reveals himself from heaven, he clearly, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The Bible says that the creation of the world, that since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. So the men and women are without excuse. But what we see today, that men are exchanging the glory of God for incorruptible God, the glory of an incorruptible God for image in the form of a corruptible man. So man has laid aside the clearly revealed truth of a sovereign, all-powerful, all-knowing God. And what he has done now is that he's replaced him with his own image of God. He's created his own God, and now he begins to worship not the Creator, but he's worshiping the creation. And now to the point that he's even eating his creation. But this is the thing. When it says that God, in verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them, is that not only referring to sexual sin? But the eating of human flesh, is that not dishonoring that which has been created in the image of God? Man has been created in the image of God, according to Genesis chapter 1, that man was created in the likeness of God. So God gives mankind, yes, the authority to kill and to eat all manner of meats taken from the land, animals, and birds, and fish, but God does not give man the permission to eat human flesh. He doesn't give man the right to do something that he has forbidden. That's a sin against God. Now, I know when you read the New Testament, the Bible talks about eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Christ, but that's not talking about cannibalism, and some false religions interpret that to be a cannibalism, but he's talking about the body and the blood and faith of Jesus Christ, and that is also done as a remembrance, as I mentioned in our prayer, remembrance in what Jesus did on the cross, and we do that through a communion service, which was one of two ordinances that was given by Jesus to the church. Communion, where we reflect by taking unleavened bread and grape juice to reflect what Jesus did on the cross. The second ordinance being baptism, meaning that we die to Christ, which is symbolic, which is represented in being buried in water, immersed, completely covered in water, and raised to walk in newness of life. As Jesus was buried in the grave, we too are resurrected as a new creature, symbolically, in baptism, as Jesus resurrected from the grave. So we emulate, we practice those two ordinances. But the thing that we read about in Romans 1, when God gave them over, and he says this a couple times, God gave them over in verse 25, God gave them over in verse 26, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to do the things that are not proper. Eating human flesh is not proper. Now, we notice that the first case was an individual who was practicing homosexuality, who starred in bisexual pornographic movies. According to verse 26 and 27 of Romans 1, God gave them over to degrading passions, gross affections, or perversion. God gave them over to perversion. Not only is lesbianism and homosexuality sodomy, but people who do these things are elevated. They're elevated in our media today, even now. And I saw today that same-sex couples are allowed to have health insurance. So where they're legalizing it, they're making it mainstream, and God is saying that I have abandoned America because of your turning. The women are exchanging the natural affections that they would have for a man, and they're turning to unnatural affections towards each other. And the same, men are abandoning the natural functions that they would have with a woman, and they're burning in a desire towards one another. So we are seeing this is becoming mainstream, so we're going to see venereal disease will increase. And we don't hear that in the practice of homosexual sex, that venereal disease, AIDS, these things are death killers, and they're practiced among homosexuals. Yet, they're providing them with health insurance, knowing that their practices are increased in their practices of gaining or getting these types of death diseases that will lead to their destruction. So God even gave them over to a depraved mind, according to verse 28. And this means they're disqualified for their intended purpose. Meaning their reasoning is now corrupt. So God placed his moral law with cultural immorality, meaning that lustful, immoral beasts running wild. And that's what we see today. We see people like Genesis chapter 6 running wild, out of control. So what happens when he abandons a society? Well, we know judgment comes, for example. When he gives them over to their flesh and their desires, we see these things that I just mentioned. But judgment is soon to follow. In Genesis 6, the Bible says, "And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." What does that sound like? That sounds like depravity, doesn't it? When I look in Evangelical Dictionary of Theology written by Walter A. Ewell, he talks about fallen man's relation to a holy God. Because of the effects of the fall, the original relationship of fellowship with God was broken, and man's entire nature was polluted. And as a result, no one can do anything, even good things, that even gain soteriological merit in God's sight. So man cannot earn his salvation because in his own heart it is wickedness. And as a result, according to Genesis 6, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. And what did he do? What he did was he judged the earth. It was a righteous man as identified in Genesis 6 named Noah. The earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence, much like we see today. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. All flesh was corrupt, and flesh had come before God, and violence had come before God, and he said, "I will destroy them." That's exactly what he did. He destroyed them. What do we see today? Man is doing what is right in his own eyes. What is God's response? God restrains himself. He pulls himself back. C.S. Lewis, and this is the problem, problem of pain. C.S. Lewis said this: "The loss in joy forever, the horrible freedoms they will demand, and therefore they are self-enslaved." What does God do? God gives them over to their passions. And as C.S. Lewis just said, I quoted C.S. Lewis, that he is enslaved by his own sins. And so what happens when God abandons a nation? Outright, uncontrolled lust, passion like immoral beasts. So what's the solution? Preaching the gospel. Get out. Preach the gospel. Share Jesus Christ. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Thank you again for joining us here at Evangelize for Life. May God bless you, may he keep you, and may his face shine upon you. Join us again.